This is a replay of the Tuesday night, October 22nd WGN show. We started about 10:45. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
The edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have about 2 hours and 15 minutes to spend together, and I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. A little bit earlier than usual. I thought I was ready, but I'm not. However, my blood was boiling. Yeah, I shouldn't read these articles before I go on the air. Do you have any cards from Synchrony Bank? Now, you may not know it, because one of the things they do most often is co-brand with store-affiliated cards, or whether it's like a Sam's Club or a Lowe's or an Amazon. You look at your statement, and ultimately, if you read the fine print, it's Synchrony. Well, they have decided, and they have done this, to charge you $1.99 if you want a paper statement. This drives me crazy. And, you know, there isn't a company around that doesn't want to do this now, because, of course, it saves them a fortune. I understand that. But depending on your online habits, I know for me, as I always tell anybody who says, why don't you sign up for electronic statements? I said, because you may want to get paid. It's just that simple. So now, one by one, they are starting to charge. And Citibank released new guidance to customers saying that going paperless was required in order to access your account on Citi.com and the Citi mobile app. Oh, really? Well, if that's the case, I will no longer access. And by the way, I haven't seen anything on this, by the way. It's supposedly toward the end of last year. Never saw a thing. And the bottom line is that permission is required to begin paperless billing. And, of course, I never give it. But there is no shortage of ways they try to force you into that. So I was just reading about a lot of people who were adding up this $1.99 and saying, that's $11.40-something cents per card per. Yes, it is. All right. Well, that almost borders on something too serious. I've got the tabloids if all else fails. That's right. Slime from the checkout line. And we have a number of fine stories, including stories of more idiots more often. And of course, those who are twisted. All right. Such as Jesse Johnson. You're saying, who is that? Well, if you read the police blotter in Gilbert, Arizona on September 24th, you would know about this 28-year-old man. He's been arrested for spying on women's feet as they were vacuuming their cars. I'm not 100% sure what fetish that falls into, probably multiple, but the way he did it is even more bizarre. His MO was to be at the Superstar Car Wash in Gilbert, park next to a woman's car at the vacuum station, then, after she pulled up, slide underneath her car for a few minutes before climbing back out, right? All the while he was standing there, lying there, and watching their feet. And apparently, it's happened now 3 times in Arizona, but this is not new. He's been cited 4 times in Nebraska. In fact, in one case that he touched a woman's ankle in a grocery store. He admitted to authorities that he is sexually attracted to women's feet and at times cannot control his sexual desires. All right, so the charge was voyeurism. And, of course, three counts of disorderly conduct, because, believe me, the superstar car wash wasn't too pleased about it either. So in the meantime, I understand that he's being held on $10,000 bond, and that was in late September. As far as I know, he's not out. I don't know. But I think car washes are still safe. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, or, as I say, we'll come up with the tabloids. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, a lot of things come across the border, and Customs and Border Protection is used to smuggling attempts on a daily basis. But in Presidio, Texas, on September 23rd, they got what they weren't expecting. They were inspecting a vehicle driven into the United States when personnel discovered 748 pounds of Mexican bologna. I'm not making this up. 40 rolls of deli meat were hidden in a number of suitcases throughout the vehicle. Now, mind you, Presidio, where obviously it's the border, we're talking South Texas, September 23rd, it is hot. There, I'm not even going to say warm, because it is hot. All right, so I can't imagine that these 40 rolls, they didn't have to be found. I think they reeked. But regardless, if they actually made it to their destination, would that be edible? And, of course, the news from Border Protection wasn't so much that it was going to kill the end users, but it is a pork product, and they have the potential to introduce foreign animal diseases that can have devastating effects. Yes, well, that's true. That's also true, but I would assume that it could also have devastating effects on the eater, to say the least. The driver was an American citizen. He got a $1,000 civil penalty, and the bologna was destroyed. Well, hey, we're safe on that. So, 888-876-5593. Are you an interstate driver? Years ago, that was my hobby. I wanted to drive every inch of interstate in America, and I actually did it, but it was so many years ago that there weren't quite the number of inches there are now, to say the least. And I've mentioned before, my last road, when they built it, was I-19, my protest route, because they measure it in kilometers, not miles, and I don't like that in America. But regardless, originally in the 50s, when the interstate system was devised, it was more a Department of Defense project, because there were stringent rules on how this had to be, including landing strips in the median. That's one of the reasons the medians were so wide originally, every so many feet or miles, and they were looking at it in terms of defensive movement. Well, here we have a single-engine plane on September 17th, took off from Myrtle Beach International Airport. Apparently, a door fell off and landed in the yard of a vacant home. The pilot and the passenger were unharmed, but the deal is they decided they'd do the easy thing, they'd land on the interstate. And so that was the deal. And apparently, no worse for anybody else. So I realized the neighbors to the house where the door was falling in the yard were a little shook up, but apparently all is well. We also have an SUV that fell from an overpass on I-95 in Miami, crashed through a fence, narrowly missed a bystander, and both driver and passenger walked away unscathed. Nonetheless, you had a number of people rushing to help. In fact, they had one woman who offered them a knife, if you're wondering why, to cut the driver and passenger out of their seatbelts. But bottom line is that worked out fine, and quite the trip and quite the episode, but all is good. So 888-876-5593. We got 2 hours to spend together. Like I say, I'm threatening the tabloids, but I will say that the other day when I was standing in the checkout line, I did see some headlines that I thought were mighty interesting. So maybe we'll review those. But James on the South Side always has stories for us. So James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you? Thank you for taking my.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so what is new in your life with regard to these stories? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, let's see. There was one rather strange one. Let me look it up right quick because it.
While you're prefacing that, I'll tell you about the one you sent that scared the living daylights out of me, caused me to realize that I'm never going to the hospital again. So here is a man in Kentucky. He went into cardiac arrest. They declared him brain dead. They were harvesting his organs. This is at a legitimate hospital when he woke up in the middle of the procedure. And apparently, T.J. Hoover is Anthony T.J. Hoover is the hapless patient. And now the state and federal government are looking at this and the organ procurement system in general, one would hope. So apparently his sister recounted how he was taken to Baptist Health in Richmond, Kentucky, home of the original Kentucky Fried Chicken location, of course, in October 2021. It wasn't called that then, but that's what it was. Anyway, the colonel had the restaurant. Doctors soon told his sister and her relatives that he lacked any reflexes, no brain activity, suggesting you move him from life support now and harvest those organs. So the staff said, well, he gave permission for his organs to be donated in the event of his death, and so they claimed. I don't know what was in place for that actually, but what I do know is that during the procedure, even before that, let's say before he was rolled into the operating room, his sister noticed that his eyes opened up and he seemed to track people. And the doctor said, oh, no, that's just reflexes. It's just a normal thing. He's brain dead. He's not there. And she said, well, who are we to question the medical system? So an hour after he was brought into surgery for his organs to be harvested, a doctor came out and explained to the family, you'll love this, he wasn't ready. Bottom line is he woke up. And so then she got instructions to bring him home and make him comfortable, saying, well, he won't live very much longer. Well, I think that has been 2 or 3 years now. And 3 years, for the past 3 years, he's been grappling with trouble with walking, remembering, and talking. But you wonder how far they got into the harvesting before this happened.
It does. But then again, it reminds me of another story that I sent you about somebody they thought was going to die of cancer. And more than 3 years later, they told me we had 3 years to live. They were still alive and kicking.
Well, the horror of those stories is usually the kicker in them is that the guy's told he has 6 months to live and he goes out and spends a fortune. Then he finds out, oh, no, I'm going to be alive and have to pay it back. So sometimes death doesn't seem so bad. You have ended the hour, and thank you for getting me through it. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay,
thanks. All right, so another 2 hours of this. I expect your pity and your calls, but right now I expect the news, and we'll get it, too, right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Little Junior's Blue Flames, Fussin' and Fightin' Blues. Jim and Norwich wanted to hear that. 1953 on Sun. Yeah, fine song. 888-876-5593. 88-88 Raleigh. I was on shellac, and it was a flip side, actually, as far as that goes. But a fine one, nonetheless. Now, 888-876-5593. Oh, what's the A side, you ask? Feeling Good, in case you've got it in your collection. We'll play all your requests tonight, except maybe not Eddie Hazel. All right, so somebody requested him doing California. It was Barry in New Hampshire, actually. Barry, shame on you. I was thinking he meant Eddie Hazel, who was a fine jazz guitarist, one of my favorites, 1964, loosely based upon a theme by Bird. But nonetheless, I don't have it here at the studio. But nonetheless, I did pull Eddie Hazel, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. But other than that, you will hear all the rest of your requests. I've lined them all up. 888-876-5593. So as I was saying, you know, you hear about things that happen on planes, and usually the stories are after the fact are great when you hear what the airline has to say about it. Well, that's true for this one too. Yes, SAS Scandinavian Air says it happens extremely rarely. How could it happen at all? Okay, so the flight was going from Oslo, Norway to Malaga, Spain, and it was diverted to Copenhagen, Denmark. This is last month, September 18th to be exact, after a mouse crawled out of a passenger's in-flight meal. Right? I am not making that up. Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah, we've looked at some of those meals. I affectionately always call them baked chicken ass, and say, you know, why is it that there are things at 40,000 feet that you just don't find on the ground? Well, you don't usually find rodents climbing out of your meal either. But the individual sitting next to the passenger told the BBC that everybody remained calm, and the passenger too, but he did put his socks over his pant leg so the mouse couldn't crawl up his leg. That raises so many questions as far as that goes. Yeah, how that was even possible? I won't dwell on that. Instead, we'll talk about Kamloops, British Columbia, nice area, where last month the city council decided maybe they shouldn't do these meetings by Zoom and have the public participate. Well, what caused the furor was they went to one participant, and instead of getting his comments, they got a pornographic video clip. And so they said, maybe we'll have to go back to in-person. Yeah, well, that probably wouldn't happen. Then we have Sean Edward Uribe, 35, and he was arrested in Miami in September after incidents, if you want to call them that, at two clothing stores. The first was a Ross Dress for Less in June, when he used a medical syringe to squirt a substance onto the back of the shorts of a juvenile as he was recording it with his phone. All right, so he fled the store, but 2 months later in August, he shows up at Marshall's, striking again, this time targeting an adult woman, spraying an unknown substance on her quote-unquote left buttocks area. Wouldn't you like to be the police officer having to write up these reports? When he was taken into custody, he confessed that the liquid in the syringes was moisturizing lotion. He then called his father, he's 35 years old, as police listened and instructed him to go to his house and remove his hard drives. Put them under lock and key, he said. Well, officers got there first. They seized the drives along with a load of syringes. So far, battery on a child, two misdemeanor battery counts, and tampering with evidence are the only charges, but more bound to come. It does make you wonder, doesn't it? 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. On a happy note making you wonder is 2 months ago, Rainbow, that's R-A-Y-N-E-B-E-A-U, two words, Rainbow, a Siamese cat owned by Benny and Suzanne of Salinas, California, went missing while they were at Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. And they stayed as long as they could, but their reservations were over and they had to get out of there. So reluctantly, they had to leave their two-year-old cat behind. And so they went back. Well, recently they got a call from the Placer County SPCA in Roseville, 800 miles from where the cat had gone missing. In other words, pretty much close to where they were living comparatively. And they were reunited with Rainbow, who made it on foot. Or on paw, anyway. And he was all skin and bones, they say. Just amazing. Okay, so he was able to recover quickly with a lot of cat food, obviously. But it does make you wonder. he obviously went in the right direction. You know, maybe if he hadn't shown up at the ASPCA there, he would have made it all the way back to Salinas. Wouldn't have surprised me. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Chuck and Rockford, Ruth and Gurney, and your calls are encouraged on WGN Radio.
I heard you're getting married. Heard you're getting married. This time you're really sure. And this is the end. They say you really mean it. This guy's the one that makes you feel so safe, so sane, and so secure.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, it's the best that could happen for Brian and Joliet because we played his request, The Brooklyn Bridge, Worst That Could Happen, 1968 on Buddha. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Chuck is in Rockford. How's it going tonight, Chuck?
Oh, I'm trying to get used to a smartphone, and it's got something else, you know. I'm talking to a black screen, yeah. So...
Well, good luck if you can even see the darn thing.
Yeah. Well, I think eventually if I last long enough, I'll probably get good at it, but I don't know this.
What caused you to feel the need to torture yourself like this?
I don't know. I guess it's just I'm trying to adjust the newfangled things.
Well, good for you. I'll stick with the laptop. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you, your laptops, are they all the Apple?
No, they're all everything. I prefer Apple, and I've got MacBook Pros, and I've also got MacBook Airs, and but I have to have, unfortunately, because of some programs I'm forced to use for the radio station's automation and stuff, I do have to have Windows machines and a couple of Ubuntus as well, you know, but I don't do much with Linux. If I was younger, I'd be all over it, but these days it's just sort of like, all right. But so yeah, if I had to round them up, I'd say more Apples than anything, but as far as desktops, because of work, probably more PCs. I think I've got about 17 of the Windows machines for PCs.
Now, the music, do you you put that into digitally into your?
Well, no, you know, I'm a relic. I could, and John certainly does a lot of digitizing of music and puts it into his phone and stuff like that. But no, I usually listen the old-fashioned way. You know, I don't have to be traveling when I'm listening. In the car, I'm generally listening to the radio because I like listening to the radio. And at home, well, I've got turntables and reel-to-reels and cassettes and CDs and everything else. So it just depends. But no, I'm not one who says, oh, everything has to be on the computer. Now, I will say that as far as the files that are on my radio stations, yeah, they are they're fairly high quality MP3s. I know that's an oxymoron, but they're about 320. I certainly digitize them very rich. But I do have drives with all of that stuff, but I don't use them for pleasure.
Oh yeah, well, I don't know. Seems like I'm always getting exposed to something that
I didn't know about, you know.
Well, you know, music-wise, rather than, you know, download all the files or you know, transfer them or whatever, almost everything you want to hear is probably on YouTube. Now, not everything, because like I say, I didn't have variations on a theme by Bird on a 45 here. It's at the other studio. And I thought, well, I'll just get it on YouTube. No, it isn't there. So that happens occasionally. But for the most part, anything you'd want to hear is right there.
Well, I'm kind of getting exposed to that YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. You know, there's so much stuff on there that a lot of times I don't know. I find so much stuff that's interesting that I can spend a lot of time on it, and I can just see that I suppose you could be on it 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful time eater. The other thing I always recommend is when people are using YouTube heavily, and I am, subscribe for God's sakes. I don't know, it's like $11 a month or something. Then you get rid of all the commercials.
Oh, okay.
See, I refuse, you know, I've got the YouTube TV and I've got the YouTube, and I said, you know, hell, I've got them all. But that way I'm not burdened with commercials.
Yeah, and they can come up at the strangest times.
Well, that's
too,
right. Yeah, so no, none of my files do that. But it used to be, I think it was like $9 a month. I think it's 11 something now, maybe more. I don't know. But, you know, whatever it is, it's worth it if you're a big user. Now, if you're just the occasional user, well, you sit through the commercials. But if you're going to listen to it every day, for God's sake, subscribe.
Yeah, it looks like I might even, that's maybe the only thing I listen to, because it seems like you can call anything up on it.
That's,
you know,
that's what I say. Very, very rarely, just like today with my Eddie Hazel, I couldn't. But everything else, yes, you generally can. So I think it's worth it. And then it'll get rid of the commercials and you'll be happier.
Yeah. you know, I think I'd mentioned that my sister had quite a career there and with the airlines.
Yes.
And she hosted Jimmy Carter on his last civilian flight. At that time, she was in management with Eastern Airlines.
Wow, and now he's 100 years old.
Yeah, is that something? I guess he's the only one that's done it. So far, I think one of the things, too, with this longevity, though, is deep pockets and just being fortunate enough to have chose the right parents.
Right. Well, yeah, genetics are part of it. But then the other thing, remember that Jimmy's been in hospice care at home for the last 19 months. So, you know, I don't know that no one's ever said, "Dear Lord, let me linger." I think I would rather be gone. But a recent quote from him
is, I think he's probably rallied a little bit, too, you know.
He was quoted.
So I don't know.
He was quoted as saying that he has to live through November 3rd or 5th or whatever it is, because he has to live to vote for Kamala.
Oh, really?
That's what he said. That's the quote. So
we've had a recent one that's come out. What's her name?
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Before we do anything else, I see we have a first-time caller, and usually I cannot induce them to stay through the news. So we're going to find out about Christine in Bridgeport, Illinois, walking her dog with a radio in her pocket. So, hello, Christine.
Good evening, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right. Welcome to WGN. So where are you walking?
I am walking down 34th Street between Halsted and Litwanica, which is in Bridgeport.
And what kind of dog?
And I have an Australian cattle dog.
Oh, energy. Boy, energy.
She rescued us. I mean, we rescued her. But she rescued us, too.
Oh, yeah,
and now,
but now she's walking you.
actually, she is walking me, because I walk with the walker.
Ah, oh, and she's definitely walking you.
And I told her, stop, stay. And I'm on my breaks, and I'm sitting in front of my neighbor's house talking with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's great.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm glad you took me on a walk. I'm enjoying the walk.
And my radio is smaller than my telephone.
Yes, that's right. Good for you.
I am, my whole family, from grandma to mama to me, we've always had our radios.
Yeah.
So it's still, I still have, I'm going to write a book on Little Red, because Little Red Radio followed me everywhere for like 3 or 4 years. And now I'm always with my radio. I go to bed with the radio. I listen to you on the radio. I listen to everybody on the radio.
That's great.
And then when they said they're taking away AM?
No. Radio. No, they were trying to do that in cars. I don't think that'll work. But yeah. No, I think we're safe with AM for a while.
But that's just, it's like, how can you do that?
Oh,
that's
I know. I know. It's just immoral, isn't it? But from an economic standpoint, unfortunately, I hate to say it, it makes a lot of sense. But from those of us who love that ionosphere layer and listening to distant stations at night, nothing beats it.
But then, too, if you're in trouble, you have FM radio, you get nothing.
Well, that's because of the way they're programmed, not because of the technology.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. You have a...
Well, we're going to
check. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to check out the news, and I hope you will call me again. And thanks for taking me on the walk.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
And Maggie, she is actually laying right here next to me while I'm sitting in my walker, because I said, okay, gotta wait a minute.
Do
you want me to send you a picture?
Yes.
I'll send you a picture.
I'd love that.
I'm at right now.
All right.
Right there with the same station, with the same number?
Just send it to Raleigh@raleigh.net. I'm going to put you on hold and have John spell it out for you. Don't go away.
Oh, okay.
Stay where you are.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I want to see that picture. And we'll pick it up right after the news on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh Jones. Yeah, I was listening to that loud, and I thought, that production on that was really good. And that's Tom Dowd and Tommy Cogbill. And they did that American Sound in Memphis. And that was the deal. Of course, that's a Sweet Inspirations doing Sweet Inspiration, recorded April of 1967. And who was it? I think it was Karen. Yeah, Karen in Chicago wanted to hear that. And now you have. I think my ears are ringing, however, but it was nice. All right, now to get back to Chuck for a minute, because I gave him short shrift there. So, all right, Chuck.
Yeah.
So we have Jimmy Carter at 100.
On the way back from Florida after Jimmy got elected, I thought I'd swing by the Plains,
mm-hmm.
and had a heck of a time even finding the place because it wasn't on the map. I had to get to America's first.
Right.
And we did stop by Billy's places, gas station.
Oh, God.
It was kind of like a country type hangout, you know. They had a big sofa in there,
yeah,
and where people could sit down, you know, and chit chat, maybe chew some tobacco and
yeah,
whatever they do there in the country. But anyhow, I think Jimmy's biggest problem was he was a nice guy. Because
You're right. He was a very nice guy. He was in no way prepared for the rigors of what he was just walking into. But I think as far as genuinely good people, we probably have never had anybody better. But talk about unprepared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I didn't really realize it, but, you know, he brought in that 55 speed limit and all that, you know, and he was really serious about a lot of things, but they let him take a bad rap on a lot of stuff.
Well, they did. Absolutely. Well, you know, history is always rewritten, but he's had a good life, and hopefully he will make it to vote as he wants to, and then pass peacefully.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the secrets to longevity too is to have deep pockets, because I knew a local guy that lived to be 114, and I really didn't get to know him until he was 110. And I kind of think he made that last 14 years on a pacemaker. Because he told me that he passed out when he was 100 while he was driving, you know.
And, good. Lovely.
And they put a pacemaker in him. But he had been a banker, you know, and he'd owned some farms and stuff. And they didn't have to ask if he had the money when he needed something.
Right. Absolutely. Money will not buy you health, but it certainly will buy you comfort. And I'd much rather be sick at the Fountain Blue than County General. There's no doubt about that. But there you have it. And yeah, I'm sure that Jimmy Carter is getting the best of care at home. But still, I was looking at recent pictures and I thought, yeah, it's time. So hopefully after he votes, it'll be a peaceful passing. All right, Chuck, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you for calling.
Well, I got one question. What happened to Tom? Did you ever find out?
Oh, Tom from Covington, we have never found out. And, you know, mail is doesn't go anywhere as far as I know. We haven't heard from him, and I have no idea. I tried to look up to see if there was an obit or something like we had found on Bob in Memphis. But, you know, I don't know if Tom had any living family, and I can't find anything. But I'm going to continue to look.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he had another caller that she had some paint dropped on her or something, and she was going to call you back. I haven't been able to follow all your programs. Did she ever call you back?
I don't know. I don't think so.
This was one up that she was up in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've heard back. Just like, I'll tell you who else has been missing for years now. A guy named Richard used to call from South Florida, from Fort Lauderdale, and he was the one who worked on his own car, and he just dropped out of sight, and I've tried to look at obits or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I hope that they're still alive and well and just have decided to hate me, but something tells me that they're no longer with us.
Oh, I've got another question. Do you still have your... what was it, a 95 Corvette?
No, it's a 95 Z28, yes.
Oh.
It's got the Corvette engine in it, but it's actually got the Camaro body.
Oh, I had the Roadmaster with the Corvette, LT1 or whatever it was.
Yeah, right. You're right. Yeah, they always change it. Like my 75 Corvette, the big engine was the L82, so that was stamped on the car. And then the LT1 and all that. Yeah, they always give it designations.
Yeah, if you've been having trouble with that one.
I haven't.
It could be the brain. You
right,
know,
but I haven't. It's the only car in my life. It was God's gift to me after bad Corvettes. This car has over 200,000 miles on it, and it runs a top. It's never, ever given me, I shouldn't say it aloud because it'll be a problem, but it's the only car I've ever owned that never gave me a minute's worth of problems, so I'm trying to keep it forever.
Yeah, well.
All right.
I've got under the hood with a lot of that stuff, you know, and because I found out that I couldn't depend on some of the guys that said they were, you know, experts at.
Well, and of course, with the modern cars, you really can't, because you don't have the diagnostic equipment. Nobody does, and that's real unfortunate too. All right.
Well, I hope we can get to talk again one of these days.
Absolutely.
I've got a lot of pent up.
All right.
Stuff
all right.
To talk about.
All right. Well, we will do that again soon. Thank you.
Well, take care.
Okay, you too.
Hopefully I can stay up for the rest of the show.
Good luck. All right. Thanks. Yes, I'm trying to do that too, stay up for the rest of the show. We'll see how well I do on that. 888-876-5593. We got Linda in Richland Park. We got Wesley in Chicago. Jim is in New Hampshire. Fran is in Austin. And Ruth is in Gurnee. And there is one, now that I say goodbye to Chuck, there is one line available for you on WGN Radio.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. For reasons that elude me, Cindy in Chicago wanted to hear that. 1967 from Elektra. Of course, the Doors, People Are Strange. Indeed, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Linda in Richton Park, what's up tonight?
Hi, how are you, Raleigh?
Can't complain.
I'm just doing pretty good. I kind of feel like a medicine cabinet. I've been taking so much medication, trying to get myself well of different things happening in my life. Trying to get my eyesight back, hard as I can. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm a medicine cabinet.
Yes. Yes. Well, good luck on that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll improve, because my eyesight wasn't totally out. It just all of a sudden it went out about, I think, about 6 months ago, and it didn't come back. So that's why I was concerned about it, because before that I could see a little something. You know, I could read the papers and different things. But I was calling to ask some of your listeners, did they see my sister? She claims she saw a segment on the news, a regular news like 2579 station, of this man that is totally blind, and he makes his statues, and they say they are so beautiful. And she said they showed it on TV, and she was saying he was making vases and different things. And I told her, how can he do that when he can't see nothing? And she said, well, he was totally blind. That's what they said. It was a segment in the news, and they showed it. I said, well, I'd love to see how a person that's totally blind could build a, you know, she said it was like little people, you know, that he would make people and stuff. And I said, well, how could a blind person do that when they can't see where to put the ear or where to put the eye and all of that? She said, well, you just don't try. You don't do it. If he could do that, I'm sure you can do something. That's a way of telling me to get up and do something. So I said, I just can't believe it. I told my sister, her name is Rose. And I told her, I said, look, Rose, I said, maybe he could see a little something, because I cannot understand how he could build a statue, you know, and make it look so good and he can't see what it, where to put the eye, ear, nose, any of that. You know, and she said, well, it was true. It was on TV, so I was wondering, did any of your listeners,
listeners, yes, no,
did they ever see that on TV?
Well, it's on YouTube. You can see the clips. It's on YouTube.
Oh, it is? It's on YouTube?
Yes, and there's not only one, but there's one who's been on there for years now, but you've got a number of them. Michael Gregory was one. I'm trying to think of the name of the other guy, but yeah, unfortunately, there are, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, there are more than one, and you can actually on YouTube see the clips.
Okay, well, I can't see anything right now, but
right.
I just can't. If my question, were they totally blind all their lives, or did they just go blind?
Okay, well, either, you got both. There was the veteran, and he went blind, but then you've got others who've been blind from birth.
And they can build statues of people?
Supposedly.
And stuff?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. That's so hard to believe.
I will. You know. Now you've kind of made me wonder about this. I'm going to look up some of these videos. There's a blind sculptor in Mexico as well who works with clay, and on and on. But I'll look for some of the clips and tell you what I find out.
Yeah, I just can't understand that, because if you don't know where to put the tail on the horse at, you might have it upside his side or his head.
I don't know. Here's a guy, Brian Bushway in Canada. So I'll have to read about him too. All right. Now I've got my homework. I'll report back tomorrow night.
Well, quick.
Yeah.
The song that you had John played for Jim, it was so cute. The Chipmunks. Could you play it for me? I love the Chipmunks.
Oh, actually, one of the Chipmunks, it was the Nutty Squirrels, and I'll be happy to play
the Nutty Squirrels. Yeah. That is so...
I'll do it.
And who was that by?
The Nutty Squirrels are who it's by, supposedly, but it was two guys. It was Sasha Borland and Don Elliott. I'll tell you about them, and I'll play Uh-Oh Part 2 again for you coming up next. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so we'll do that and more next hour here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there they are, the Nutty Squirrels, and that was Don Elliott and Sasha Borland. And Don was a jazz musician. He would have turned 98 this week. He was born in 1926 in Somerville, New Jersey, and he was a trumpeter and a vibraphone, mellophone. The real vocalist on it, though, was Sasha Granville Alexander Borland, and he's still alive. He was born in 1927, so he's getting up there, to say the least. And they weren't the first. Obviously, Ross Bagdasarian was. And before he came up with the Chipmunks, Ross actually, of course, had Witch Doctor. He had to change his name. Believe it or not, because Ross Bagdasarian didn't fit easily on the label Art for Liberty, so he became David Seville. That was it. Yeah, well, David Seville, of course, is Ross Bagdasarian. So he did some of the effects, and then, of course, he was just great. He came up with the idea of the Chipmunks, and Alvin's Harmonica was the first one, and then they had the Christmas record, and it was obviously made for TV. But what's interesting about this is that the Nutty Squirrels were first on television because there were issues that had to be overcome with the Chipmunks, and I don't know particularly what that was, but finally the Alvin show, of course, debuted. But before that, the Nutty Squirrels Present was on, and it didn't do anything. They had a couple of albums. The first one, the Nutty Squirrels on Hanover, is worth hearing, and they're very, very interesting guys because they were basically jazz musicians more than anything else, and of course they understood how to sing slowly and speed it up, and which is, you know, really all that was about more than anything else. But there was a great quote, and I wish I could find it somewhere, but it was of all things, John Waters saying, I wish my mother had known about the Nutty Squirrels because, you know, they were hip and they didn't do drugs. Or so anyway, that's the deal with the Nutty Squirrels. And what I played, Part 2, was the bigger of the hits. The other side was Part 1. Oh, yeah, and it actually charted as well in the States. It got up to number 45 nationally. So along the same theme, but that Part 2 that I played for you first, that was a top 15 record nationally. All right, so that is for Linda in Richland Park, and I hope she liked them. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Let's see, Wesley in Chicago had requests. Hello, Wesley, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Raleigh?
All right, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I've been listening.
Well, good to have you.
It's just I don't have the great patience that you have at times. But other than that, I'm always listening for you.
Thanks.
And I would like to request three songs, really.
Okay.
Three. I ain't going to go with four. Three different genres also.
Okay.
First, I would like to, with John's permission, to dedicate A Maze by Lone Star from him to you.
Ah, isn't that nice? Okay.
And also I would like to hear the OJ's Don't Let Me Down.
Ah, okay.
And my last one would be That's All I Ask by Nina Simone.
Ah, all right. You betcha. We'll do it tomorrow night.
I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Good choices. Let me write Nina down so I don't forget. Although Carol keeps me honest, she writes all these things down so I know what I'm talking about, because invariably I'll remember your requests and forget who requested them. But she keeps me in line, and all is good with that. All right. So we had other requests. I think Fran and Austin had some. So Fran, what you got?
Okay. I'm going to be singing that Nutty Squirrel song all week. I know it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I love that thing.
Yeah.
I used to try to mess around with that kind of stuff when I was a kid, trying to speed myself up and harmonize with myself. And
yeah,
it was kind of hard to do in those days because all I had it was a reel-to-reel tape machine.
That's all you needed.
Yeah. I got it to where I could get it done pretty good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to hear He's the Kind of Boy I Can't Forget.
Oh,
or
yes.
You Can't Forget.
The Raindrops, okay.
Yeah. And there's a song I heard, Rock Granny Rock.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's Hank Ballard.
Really? All right. I should know this then. Let me see if it's even on this computer. But Hank Ballard, Rock Granny Rock. Okay. Let's see.
I heard it on an online station.
Not on this computer.
I've heard that somewhere before, and I looked at who it was, and it said Hank Ballard.
I'll find it. If it's Hank Ballard, I know I've at least got it somewhere.
And Well, see, then I just want something. You can pick whatever, but I want something funny.
Oh, okay.
Something to make me laugh.
All right. I will think
whatever
of
you pick.
Yeah. No, I, yeah. All right. Well, there's all sorts of choices on that, I guess.
I'm sure there are. That's why I'd love to see what you pick out.
Yeah, well, I'll try to pick something that Dr. Domeno didn't play. That's the
Yeah, one of the things that I always like to hear on your show is I hear a lot of things that I like that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
By groups that I've heard, you know, that I know and love, but things that I don't hear all the time that they've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll work on something funny.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Raleigh.
All right. So, first thing that came to mind was Big Bruce, but I know she's heard it. And then there are some interesting Ray Stevens, but she's probably heard all of those, too. But I'll continue to think of things that, if they don't make me laugh, they at least make me smile. So, 888-876-5593. I love chocolate creams, as far as that goes. And so, when they had a big sale around Christmas time, Russell Stover, I bought, like, 40 packs. Yeah, I know. I don't do anything halfway. Well, what I've discovered is chocolate doesn't keep forever. I just opened a new pack and had to, and oh my God. Yeah, that's right. I won't be buying them. I'll be renting them for the next hour, I think. But yeah, so I guess maybe everything has a shelf life after all. All right. So with that in mind, let's see what Leah and Marcus Hook has on her mind. What's up, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, I was fine till the two pieces of chocolate. I don't know what these are.
I keep the chocolate in the fridge.
Yeah, well, you know, 40 packs, I guess, over 9 months there. You know, I'm down to my last 10 or so, but I think they're not going to be in the fridge. They're going to be in the garbage.
Yeah, they last a lot longer when they're in the fridge.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind for next year when I buy another 40.
Okay. You can even put them in the freezer, too.
Yeah, you can. I need to learn better freezer habits, actually. But yes, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. The reason I called is because I've been trying to find this petition that Elon Musk has out that he's giving away $1 million a day in swing states, which like is Pennsylvania, and
yes.
And for voter people who are registered to vote in swing states. And if you sign his petition, and I can't find it online to save my life. I spent like an hour last night trying to
really?
Find it. Yeah, and I was wondering if you could help me find it.
Well,
let's see.
Well, I see what we have here, all these stories, like CBS News talking it, then Vox.
They kept telling me to go to X, and I went on X, and I signed up, and I created an account, and then it wasn't there.
Right. Now, I'm seeing all these articles like, is it legal? Well, never mind if it's legal. Where do I sign up? All right, so let's
find them.
Only available in swing states. All right. Tell me how to sign up. Well, I won't have to give away too much money if nobody can sign up, but let's see.
Exactly.
So you must be a registered swing state voter, they're wondering whether he's in violation of federal law.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw all that. Yeah. I don't care.
You're right. I know. You just want your $1 million. I get it. All right. So, Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, or Wisconsin. Okay. All right. I can sign the petition. Let me click on petition and see what we have here. All right. I think I might have found it. Let's see. Special offer. Yes, I've got it. I've
got
actually
it.
Got it. Yeah. Petition dot the
Wait, P-E-T-T?
No, P-E-T-I-T-I-O-N.
P-E-T-I-T-I-O-N. Petition?
Dot. The.
V as in Victor?
No, T-H-E.
T-H-E.
Yeah, like the, you know, the.
The, oh, okay.
America, A-M-E-R-I-C-A.
America.
PAC, P-A-C.
PAC?
Yes, .org, O-R-G.
.org.
So petition.theamericapac.org.
Oh, my God, I love you.
No problem. I could sign it right now. I wonder. Great. And so yeah, that's the deal. And special offer for Pennsylvania registered voters: sign the petition and get $100. Refer a petition and get $100. Offer valid from time of posting through 11:59 on 10/28. New signers only. $100 replaces standard $47 offer. In addition to it, to be eligible, both the referrer and the petition signer must be registered voters in the state of Pennsylvania. So you can read about that. All right.
Great. Thank you so much. And I spent like over an hour last night.
And so far,
this.
We have October 19th, John, whoever John is, earned $1 million in Harrisburg. October 20th, Christine earned $1 million in Pittsburgh. October 21st, Shannon earned $1 million in McKees Rocks. October 22nd, Andy earned $1 million in Holly Springs, North Carolina.
I know. Wouldn't it be great?
Each day, one petition signer from any of those states will win $1 million. So it's not one in every one of those states. It's in any one of those states. So Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, or North Carolina. And that is the deal. And
it's a day, though. Every day he's giving away $1 million.
Yes, that's what I say. The 19th went to John, and the 20th to Christine, and the 21st to Shannon, and then Andy, and that's it.
Yeah.
So now October 22nd through November 1st, each day one petition signer. And in appreciation, you receive $47 for each registered voter you refer that signs the petition. But right now in Pennsylvania, if you get a if you refer a registered voter, you get $100.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to refer Albert, and then
well,
he can sign it.
There you go. Because all you need is first name, last name, email address, cell phone number will only be used to confirm you are the legitimate petition signer, no other purpose, mailing address, did someone refer you, email or cell phone number, and sign petition.
That's great. That is so awesome.
Well, there you are.
That is so awesome. And you're going to be the first person we call if we win.
Oh, well, very good. I like that. Yes, yes. I don't sign things or do things, but nonetheless, I'm delighted you do. And it says petition in favor of free speech and the right to bear arms. Now, of course, I'd be more inclined to sign it if it was the right to arm bears, but I'm just very partial to bears.
All right. Oh, I saw the cutest bear on Facebook last night. He was eating... Somebody had left out on their deck a peanut butter and jelly that they were making their son's lunch with. And she went inside for a second, and this black bear came up and ate the peanut butter and jelly.
Perfect.
And he had the peanut butter container, and he had it between his paws, and he was licking it, and she got a picture of him, and it was so cute.
Absolutely.
He was so adorable.
They're just the best. I agree. I anthropomorphized to hell and back, but they are wonderful.
Yeah, I like the black bears. I know the grizzlies are dangerous, but I like the black bears.
Well, a lot of grizzlies are. And the absolute worst is the polar.
Oh, yeah, they are dangerous.
Right, they don't get to eat too often, so if they see you, they'll eat you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I just always think about the grizzlies and what they did to Timothy Treadwell and his girlfriend, you know?
That wasn't good. Absolutely. Well,
no,
you know, again,
good.
It's fine to anthropomorphize at a distance, but it's not so good to make close personal friends with these animals.
Right. I know. He tried to do something that shouldn't have been.
No, exactly.
Yeah, he was...
And the people who have success with this are the people who are basically trainers who take these animals from birth and are literally spending like 20 hours a day with them forever. And even then, it can turn on you. But somebody who takes an adult animal and says, oh, it's not going to be a problem. Well, you won't be around too long.
I mean, he just pitched a tent and went out there in the wilderness and started filming them. You know, he didn't have any experience. He didn't have any training. He didn't. Do it from the time they were cubs or anything.
No, of course
not. He just went out there and
thought he could commune with bears. It doesn't work quite like that way.
Yeah, I know. He was into the foxes too, but they were cute and cuddly. You know, as far
not
as
always
that goes.
They probably won't eat you, but they certainly can do some damage.
Well, no, he never had any problem with them, as far as I know. But the grizzlies, they just and then he took his was so irresponsible.
Yeah.
He took his girlfriend out there.
Know.
You know, I mean,
I know.
Just
a
tragedy.
She became an appetizer. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Just a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, good luck on the petition. Let me know when you're rich.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh and. Always happy to help. Let's see. We're going to talk to Lauren Willowbrook about flying. Well, as long as you don't order the meal on SAS, I guess. Jim in New Hampshire about music and radio. Ruth has been hanging on the Make-A-Wish Foundation, so we'll get there. And Josh in Chicago, Power of Attorney update. All right, so all that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear Lannis and Lucy. That's, of course, from the Vince Guaraldi Trio. I was trying to find out how much money has Vince Guaraldi made from that, because he's still making it, that's for sure. More on those television themes and all that, to say the least, including the Weather Channel during holiday season. But I was looking, all I can find out is it sold 500,000 units, and which is... You know, 500,000 more than I think I would have. Although, I'll tell you, he was great, because I don't think that he's gone. I think he's still with us. And of course, Cast Your Fate to the Wind and all that wonderful stuff that he did. So I assume I should try and see if I can find that out. But anyway, if it's not him, it's his heirs. Somebody's doing well on that. So 888-876-5593, and that is Jack in St. Charles' request. All right, so it was originally a single on Fantasy, by the way, and recorded in 1964, and released then as well on Fantasy as a jazz single. So, he did Treat Street before that, and then Theme from Grace. But like I say, my fave was Cast Your Fate to the Wind. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, the interesting thing on Lannis and Lucy is how that came about, because apparently the executive producer for Peanuts television, Lee Mendelson, heard Cast Your Fate to the Wind. Like I say, great song. He was driving his car over the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and he thought, boy, that sounds really good. And so he called the jazz critic for the Chronicle. So, what is that? Who is it? So put him in touch with Vince Guaraldi, and said, you know, you'd be good for a documentary I'm working on, A Boy Named Charlie Brown. And the rest was history. So, 888-876-5593. And by the way, Guaraldi had written that before that call. All right, so at least some of it. So now, what do we have? Is Ruth and Gurney still alive? Are you still awake, Ruth? No, we've lost Ruth. Ruth went to sleep. It happens. All right, so we'll talk to her on another night. We'll talk to Laura in Willowbrook right now. How's it going, Laura?
Great, Raleigh. And I love the Peanuts music that always, every time I hear some of that, it's like, okay, I know what that is.
Oh, that's funny. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I never have watched any of those television shows, but they play it so often that it's one of those that, you know, starts out as, oh, whoa, oh, wow, and now when I hear it, it's like, oh, no.
Well, I'm sorry I got in the middle of, I thought you and someone were talking about flying. Did I misinterpret that?
No, it was a SAS. This actually happened last month on an SAS flight. The hapless passenger sat down, opened his dinner that they give you, that passes for dinner, and a mouse crawled out of it.
Oh,
Yeah, so that was the story. They landed in Oslo and, you know, let the nauseated passengers off and went on their merry way. And that was the end of the story. But, yes, a mouse crawled out of the in-flight meal. Now, you have to wonder, normally those things are nuked to death, you know?
Yeah,
How did the mouse survive it? And when did the mouse enter the meal? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's scary thinking right there. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, reason that came up is like, well, okay, I'm going to ask Raleigh. I says, if you don't mind me asking, when you fly...
I don't.
What do you do? You
don't?
Really?
Last flight I took was 1999, commercial flight, and I said, I am done. I am never getting on another one of these again as long as I live, and I never have. I used to enjoy flying. I still have a card somewhere. I was a member of the Stratoliner Club way, way, way back when, and all that stuff. And flying was nice. You know, I liked it better when they had the sleeper berths, which went away a long, long time ago and all that. But even so, flying was still fairly good. Started to change a little in the 80s. By the early 90s, I was very disconcerted, to say the least. And by 99, I got off the plane. I said, these are not the people I want to die with. And I just I just don't. If I can't drive there, I don't need to go.
Wow. Well, I was wondering because I says, well, I'm thinking about taking a trip next year. I haven't figured out where yet. But, I guess when you did fly, like myself, I go to the airport, like, okay, and of course you wait forever. Most of the time your flight's delayed, coming or going. And I like, okay, well, I'll pick up a snack because you never know what the heck they're going to serve you. And I think I'm an oddball because I don't know if I was desperately hungry or what, but it's like I didn't think the airline food was that bad. I mean, I wouldn't write home about it, but it's like, okay, well, it was passable. Either that or I was desperate to eat. I don't know which.
Well, when I used to fly, firstly, I only flew first class. I would not fly coach. And, you know, I just wouldn't. And, you know, that was the way it was, and it was not an issue. But there were three companies that provided the in-flight meals. There was Sky Chef, Dobbs House, and Marriott In-Flight. With Marriott In-Flight, I knew I'd probably eat the meal. With Dobbs House, it was 50-50. And with Sky Chef, I just have a bag of chips.
Oh,
I don't know who does it now.
There's a way to.
Well, no, but you see, I don't.
So there's a way to find out who does it then.
Just look, the thing they drive up to the planes. But see, I don't know anymore. I really don't. Remember when I was doing this? Most of the planes, you went down the steps. I mean, you don't anymore. But but still, just like the little carts that come over and put the luggage on, there's also a cart that comes over and puts the food on. And so now, but I don't know who does this anymore. My information is so old. I could try to look that out, look that up to see who's doing it. But it used to be Sky Chef, Dobbs House, and Marriott In-Flight.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, I'm one of the few that's like, okay, nowadays they do internet on the flights. So if I can get my internet working, I do that. But otherwise, you know, I've got the good old tabloids that keep me busy. I don't know why, but I can't sleep on a plane.
All right, so we have LSG Group is what Sky Chef's was. We offer complete in-flight catering programs. I don't know. And they say meals for every price category. Well, that right answers it right there. But and, of course, originally Marriott In-Flight was Hot Shops originally, but that's going way back. I don't think Marriott does any in-flight catering anymore. As far as Dobbs, I don't think they do either. So let's see. Here's an article from 1999, actually. Merger reflects woes of airline food industry. All right.
Okay.
And this says S Air Group owns Gate Gourmet. See, and that's overseas provider. But I don't know. but they merged apparently with Dobbs. So I'd have to look it up, but Marriott probably more than anything else created the in-flight food deal, because they were doing it from 1937 when they were handing you a box lunch on the. I wasn't alive for this, you know, but I remember hearing about it, and you know, you'd get, if I recall, you'd get a sandwich and coleslaw and a cupcake, and it was Eastern and America and all that. So I think that Marriott divested that, and maybe somewhat recently. That I don't know, but I don't think Marriott's in the business anymore of that. But if they were,
I would think they would be one to go with. But I didn't know. Like, I didn't know you could find out who the heck the caterer is.
You can watch it.
Okay.
You know, if the Marriott truck drives up, you know what it is. But it was part of Hot Shops originally. You know, and they had a lot of restaurants on the turnpikes and stuff like that. A lot in the D.C. area, and I'd have to look it up, but apparently Sky Chef is LSG Group now, and they're still around. But there are others, so that's how you find out as far as that goes. Oh, look at this! In 2020, somebody sued Sky Chefs. I don't think for the food.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your input, Raleigh. You're always full of knowledge, or great at finding it.
Well, enjoy the trip. I'll be on the land.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh. Good night.
All right. So 888-876-5593. I just absolutely will not. I don't have a lot of patience for stuff like that. Yeah. And there's nowhere I want to go that I can't drive. So now, of course, you know, if my Jones was to, you know, keep going to Hawaii or something, well, I'd have a little problem. But yeah. I remember once on a flight, it was going from LAX to Las Vegas, and they had the whole thing about your seat is a flotation device. And I remember saying, are we going the long way? But of course, they took off over water and came back around. So 888-876-5593. We got Cindy, we got Josh, we got Jim, and we got you, I hope, on WGN Radio.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, an LP cut originally 1968 on Special Occasion, and that was Aileen in Oak Forest who wanted to hear that. Hopefully she's still awake and listening. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Josh is in Chicago. What's up, Josh?
Hi, Raleigh. How's it tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing as well as can be. So some weeks ago, you gave me the advice of going and talking to the social worker about my grandmother.
Yes.
I did follow your advice. And so when before we spoke, she definitely was going to make me power of attorney. And so the social worker decided to go into the room and fill out the power of attorney paperwork with her. And there she decided that she didn't want me to be power of attorney. She made her friend power of attorney. So that kind of cut me off as, you know, meeting with the people and stuff.
Yes.
But not surprisingly, she took a real turn after that in terms of her health.
Uh-huh.
And so she has since been discharged from the hospital, but she's in a nursing home.
Yeah.
And we're starting hospice and palliative care.
Yeah, right.
So... yeah, we don't know how long, you know, she has to go from here, but your advice was really good, and it did help me a lot. It just, you know.
Yeah. Well, you
it
know,
is what it is at this point.
Even not having the power of attorney, she can, in all the different forms, designate that you are entitled to get the information. That's all part of the
whole
thing. All right. So as long as you've got that, you've got that. And yes, she would have been discharged because as soon as you plateau, hospitals won't keep you because they won't be reimbursed. And by plateau, I mean that you're not continuing to get better, that you hit a state where you're sort of like on a level playing field. At that point, that's when the hospitals, if you can't go home, put you in some form of nursing facility. And that's apparently what happened. Now, given what you're telling me, it sounds like you're really looking at end-of-life care, and she should qualify for hospice.
Yeah, she is. That's where we are now. Right, and now she's on palliative.
Right. And with hospice, though, there's a lot of benefits. And depending, hospice can be done at home, too, and they come in. So if you don't want her in a facility, and if her friend who's got the power of attorney doesn't want her in a facility, you can get that help at home.
We've been in contact with the social worker from her hospital, and they kind of explained to us that because she needs 24-hour care, hospice doesn't provide
24-hour
care. No, they don't.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
They do not provide that. The biggest caregiver in an in-home hospice situation is the family. But there, when that can be done, there's so many nice perks, including somebody comes in once a week to clean your house.
Oh,
I mean, there's all sorts of perks, but it doesn't work when you do need around-the-clock nursing care because you won't be able to do that.
True, yeah. Talking about Jimmy Carter, though,
yeah.
Part of the reason that, you know, he can take it at home is because he has so much money, yes or
of
no?
Of course. Well, that's part of it, and a big extended family and all that as well. So sure, but I'm sure that he's got 24-hour aides who are living in at this point.
One other thing I called you last week about, and I meant to call you back. I was watching the movie, what is it called? Flower Drum?
Flower Drum Song?
Yeah, Flower Drum Song, yeah. And the actor, I think his name is Jimmy Song? Jimmy Wong, something like that? He was the first non-black artist signed to Motown. And the Stevie Wonder song, For Once in My Life, he was the first to record that, but it never went platinum because Stevie recorded it some weeks later. And I mean, it never was released because Stevie recorded it some weeks later and you know, took that song to where it is now. I think his name is Jimmy Song. I'm not sure though.
I think that there were people before him though.
That recorded that? Okay.
No, that recorded on Motown that were white. You had an
really okay. That's what I didn't even know Motown had any. That's what I was surprised
by. Of course they did, and I think Debbie Dean was one of the first. She was a pop artist. They released a single on her in 1961. So Berry Gordy was very sharp, and Motown was really a label run on a number of different levels. Berry understood that the general market, the mass sales, that's where the money was. You wanted to reach as much of America as you could, and so he really looked at it as the sound of young America. But parallel to that, there were a number of Motown releases that were truly fine soul records that were never going to see the light of day on a pop station, and gospel and gospel as well. But you know, when I listened to things like I was listening to The Chaperone last night, and one of my all-time favorite Motown records, and I thought, well, that's not exactly ever going to be played on a pop station. So it worked on a number of levels. But in general, he was all for making sure that all of those groups had mass appeal because that's where the money was. But
one last thing. Speaking of my grandmother who's passing, and Halloween is coming up. Every Halloween, my grandmother would get very depressed because as a child, one of her best friends was the youngest sister of the Staple singers. She wasn't a part of the group. Her name was Cynthia Staple. And she was the youngest sister of them, and she ended up committing suicide on Halloween. My grandmother would always get really depressed around this year of time. And so maybe if you could play something by the Staple Singers.
I will do that tomorrow for you. You bet I will. I'll try to find some Debbie Dean.
Thank you.
Chris Clark was another early white gal act on it. And then of course, Kiki Dee, the Balladeers. There were others as well. But I think Debbie Dean was the first. So, and then, of course, Bobby Taylor was ethnically mixed. But I'll try
You've given me some things to YouTube tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll go ahead and try to find some and play you some tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you, David.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Okay. Bye. All right. Perfectly fine. I'll take it. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And gosh, I've got moments here. And so moments here, and I can't manage to disconnect the lines. Okay. There you just go. All right. So first thing we'll say to Jim in New Hampshire is, I want you to call early tomorrow night so we can spend a good long time talking.
Yeah, that was what I was planning to do.
Okay, good. Well, I'll be on at 10. There's no ball games, and I'll talk to you then.
Okay, cool.
Okay, good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
Always fun to talk to Jim. Now, with that in mind, and I know if Ruth calls back, we'll talk to her too, because, Scott, I had her on hold forever. John said, I'm out of time. All right, so it is time for a break. So that means call me back tomorrow night, Cindy. All right, so on that note, that's a wrap. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, Adam for keeping us on the air. Couldn't do it without him. And I wouldn't have done it without your calls. You make it a pleasure to do. So 21 hours from now, do it again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.